Okay. Good morning, Rabosai. Let's continue where we were. We had just started this fascinating story about Shlomo HaMelech. Let's review. They asked why he needed the Shadim. If you hold like Bavel, then he needs Shadim. So let's start again from the question. Why do you need demons? Etc. He could not cut it with metal instruments. How can I cut the stones if I can't use metal? There's the shamir that Moshe used to carve the stones of the ephod because they had to be bituchei chosam. They had to be engraved. That's Shuda Shalmekra. On the other hand, we darshin the miluosam that they have to be whole. If you engrave things, they're not whole. So you needed to have some special technique. And he used a shamir. We discussed what the shamir was last time. And it was very hard, as we've seen the rest of the story, for him to find the shamir. Interestingly, it's a fascinating machlokus in Tosot, or starting with Tosot, to Ramatchel Ika Shamir. At the end, he points out that assumption here is based on a machloket. There's a machloket whether or not you're allowed to use stones of the Beis Hamikdash. Can you cut them with metal or not? Our Gemara is assuming not. In any case, he says, hold on, the Avnei Eifod. There's a story of the Avnei Eifod, the famous story we all know, Dama ben Nesina, right? That the guy whose father was sleeping on the keys of the treasure chest, right? So this is the first story I taught my kids, and they were old enough to learn stories. I figured it was more useful than anything else in Shas.
Especially not waking your parents up.
Shabbos now. They wanted to buy a stone for the ephod for a gazillion dollars, and he wouldn't wake up his father. So because it says it broke, and in the end, he was rewarded with the paraduma, which was even whatever's more than $8,000. Okay, great. That shows that they got a new stone for the ephod during by Yesheni. We know Dumbassina was during by Yesheni. Because if they made a paraduma, we saw when they made the paraduma, so it must have been during Daishani. So it says, hold on a second. They didn't have a shamir. If they didn't have a shamir, then how could they make a new stone for the ephod during Daishani? And Tosos makes a tremendous chiddush. Says Tosos, it must be they had a shamir during Daishani. It was very hard to get a shamir. Shlomo HaMelech had to go through this whole story we're about to read, which was not pashat, to get the shamir. How could they have a shamir during by Yesheni? Soto says no. Or Medayik, they had it because Mar said Shemesh would be shown about certain things. Meishachar Meisamikdash about other things. Sounds like Har Meisamikdash is after Meisu to be shown in, which would be Korban by Yesheni. That's Tosos' shot. In any case, Tosos says Sarichloma Shishamruhu Mimei Shlomo Ad Korban by Yesheni. They saved this shamir from the days of Shlomo till Korban by Yesheni. And they had this, you know, for 1,000 years, whatever, almost 1,000 years, they had this shamir. That's a big chiddush that they had a shamir during Vaisheni. All the Achronim disagree. They say, no, that's not shot. Shot in the Gemara is that the shamir was batal a long time before this. And they give other answers to how to explain the story of Dama ben Nesina. So again, if you hold there's no shamir by Vaisheni, there are two basic mahalchim to answer. One is found in the Iyun Yaakov here. On the bottom of the Iyun Yaakov, it's much earlier, the Shitlo no Dalabi in Kiddushin, which is that it's only Lichatchila to use a shamir to engrave on the stones of the Eifod, but it's not Ma'akev. The Shitlo no Dalabi says, Lidyaved, you could write with ink. Not be too chosam, and the Yun Yaakov who was in front, they said, but yeah, but you cannot write it all as long as you have the gems. Okay, so one option is that they didn't have a shamir, and Bid Yevit, you're the same without engraving.
this tie back to what is the shot here? It's a diamond. It's a diamond. It makes sense. They found another diamond.
Quite possibly. You know, the it could be that by the time of the end of Aishani, it seems that the Western world, or really, you know, people, even not the Western world, you know, the world had discovered diamonds. You know, I don't know what the quality was, et cetera. Certainly, in time of Shlomo Melech, it's very clear. And I'm not a historian. It seems to be a story. In time of Shlomo Melech, no one heard of diamonds. So then it would make sense that it was not such a plush thing if you take that. Again, that is that unique approach. By Baisheni, maybe they found it. Interestingly, yeah, the truth is it's a diamond. Maybe Baisheni, it was a more plush thing to come up with. That's a good point. Just on the days of Shlomo Melech was. But let's, you know, if we assume it was something supernatural, then again, the three basic Mahalchim are Tosfos, Haya, Shamru, Ad, Korban by Shani, or the Shitalo Nodalami and the Ion Yako, who say that Pituche Tosa, Eino Ma'ake, the only difference is, what do you do with the Ion Yako? Says, don't write it all. Shitalo Nodalami, that's the only other Rishon I found who dealt with this, says, okay, so write it without engraving. But the Rishasher points out that according to the Ramban, it's no problem whatsoever. Says the Rishash. According to the Ramban, it's no problem whatsoever. He points out the Ramban on next week's Parsha. Right? It wasn't worth scrolling to length sheer until next week. But Ramban on, no, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks, sure, 2 weeks from now's Parsha. On Tetzaveh. Who says that when it said our Gemara is lav dafka? Ika shamer da icy moshe lavne eipo. What's also this kasha? You need a shamer for the eipo. It's a both part of the eipo. But Tom Benesino is an avne eipo. Says the Rabban, no, it's lav dafka. Sometimes eipo and koshen are used lav dafka. He says, you don't need a shamer for the eipo, for avne eipo. You only need it for avne koshen. Why? Because both of them say pituche koshen. Both of them say it needs to be engraved, but only the Choshen says beneath the Wosan, which we darshan to mean to be whole. Only the Choshen needs to be engraved and whole. So to do that, you need a magical shamir. But the Avnei Eifo need to be engraved, but they don't need to be whole. Okay, so you take you know, some steel, you know, or iron in those days, whatever. You figure out some way to engrave it, and it doesn't have to be whole, so you don't need anything supernatural. So he says when it says Moshe brought the shamir with Avnei Eifo flopped off, because that means the Choshen. When Dama Benesina needed a new stone for the Eifo, then it was Nafka. So it's no problem. By Shani, they couldn't have replaced the Avnikoshin. So those needed a Shamir, but they couldn't replace the Avnikoshin. So the Avnikoshin doesn't need a Shamir. Okay, this is the Sheikh Ramban. It's not really Rashash's Kiddush. She just points out the Ramban Nika. The Avnikoshin lo ba'u Shamir only, and then you have to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu, they were using lav dafka. He brought it for the Choshen, but the Avnei Eifo that do not need a shamir, and then it is no problem. Okay, let us. Where did Moshe get the shamir? Moshe was Moshe. He's not asked questions on Moshe. Or maybe the answer, you know, I don't know. Hashem showed him the shamir. There's not an interesting story about that. Okay, let's continue. So Shlomo Melch needed the shamir, but he didn't know where to find a shamir. So let's go back to the Gemara, Amar Lahu. So the again, he said to the rabbis, "What am I going to do?" They said, "Get the shamir." Amar Lahu, hey Chashkacha, Ishtaka, where can you find the shamir? Amar Lahu, I the sheet of a shitzin kavshinu adadi efshar diyadi umegalach. Bring a shida v'shitzin. Bring male and female timen and press them right together. You know, use. I don't know, nowadays it's I guess a Geneva Convention or something. But apply pressure to them. It's not clear exactly why you needed two. It could be that maybe there's something we're missing about exactly how to torture a Shadim, or it could be that, you know, when you have one guy, it's very easy to you know, to get false information. But you have two people, so it's harder for them to coordinate false information, or to not people, two beings. Answer the young male, maybe they'll know, and they'll tell you. And that's why Shlomo Melech needed the Shadim in order to tell him where the Eifo, where the Shamir was. Agav, just give me a second. Tosus asks, he says, what do you mean? Why did he ask the Urim and Tumim? where the shamer was. Wouldn't that have been a lot easier than finding Shaden? And Tosos answers no, because you shouldn't use the Urim Batumim if you have another option. If he had another option, he had no right to use the Urim Batumim. The Achronim give other answers. I put the Yerushim Rachim in brackets, but a few of the Achronim say that the Urim Batumim was not capable of giving such detailed information. The question the Urim Batumim usually were, should I go to war, should I not go to war? Will I win, will I not win, etc. Yes or no answers. Okay, there's some in Russian that suggest me other simple answers. The question, like, where do I find the Shamir? That's a very, very, you saw how complicated it was, the answer. And if some of the Achronim suggest, no, the Urim Batumim was there for yes or no answers, for two clear possibilities, but the Urim Batumim was not capable of giving, just technically, it didn't have the capability of giving such clear directions. Okay, I have no way personally judging this, but anyway, Tosos apparently thinks the Urim Batumim could have told you this whole Megillah, but l'chachila, it's better to use other means. And the Achronim say, no, the Urim Batumim just was not capable of giving you a whole Megillah.
Exactly, his specification of Shaden is by Crocodicus, it sounds like spiritual, that takes in your brain. Here it sounds like a physical thing. Are they both?
So okay, we'll get to that in a few moments. Shadim, certainly by Kerdikus, it sounds like Shadim are not something we can see in your touch, etc. You know, a guy gets sick. What does it mean when a guy gets sick? Nowadays, we would say it's something we can't see and touch called an imbalance in whatever, or bacteria, or it's also something we can't see and touch that we have to take someone's word for. I've never seen a bacteria or a virus myself. In those days, they called the Shadim. Oh, as opposed to here, Shadim sounds like actual things that we interact with. You're right. This is definitely a step up. I remember Aaron Soloveitchik liked to say, yeah, see if this works 100%. He wanted to say there's a difference in Shadim and Ruach Ra'ah, that the Gradikas call a Ruach, not a Shade. When they talk about Shadim, they mean demons. When they talk about Ruach Ra'ah, they mean germs. I mean, they wouldn't have called the same words we do, but like they use the word Ruach Ra'ah for things that are just invisible phenomenon that you have to explain in some means, and they use the word Shadim for when we're talking about like little guys who look, you know, sort of devilish. So that would definitely fit that Kodaikos called a Ruach. And therefore, he said, whenever they use Ruach Ra'ah, they really meant germs, even if they wouldn't have expressed it that way. Whenever they say Shadim, they really meant demons. Your Ha'ara would explain why Kerdikos is called, it says, Adharuach Kerdikos Shmei, and over here it's called the Shade. Oh, continuing this. Okay, you have to wait for that. First, we have to read it. We don't answer questions like that until we read it first. That's not the Seder Dvarim. First, you read it. First, you understand the Mahalak of the story, the plot line, and then you analyze. So let us read it. So it gets exciting. So what did they say then? They said, apparently, you know, they were believable. We don't know, but tell the Ashvadai Malkus Shadim, maybe Ashvadai, the king of the Shadim knows. Right? Your only hope is going to the king of the Shadim. Amalabechis, they said, I need some useful information. You want me to let you go? Where's Ashvadai hang out? Amalabechis, the Torah plan. He's in this certain mountain. Kargali Bira, and here's some useful information. He dug a pit, Umayule Maya, and he filled it with water. For drinking water, mechasib tinara, and he covers it up with stone, and he seals it with his signet ring. Meaning, apparently, this what is Ashvadai worried about? He's worried about his drink, and therefore he hides it and then seals it with his signet ring, so that A, no one will find it. If they do find it, mess with it, he'll notice. And why can't he just stay there every day? He has things to do. He goes up to the heavens. The Gomri Sifter Kiyan learns from the yeshiva up in Shemayim. The Nachla Ara Gomri Sifter Ara goes down to the earth and learns from the yeshiva down here on earth. Okay, interesting inspiration for all of us. That whatever exactly Ashvadai means, it wasn't enough that he went up to the Sifter Kiyan. He also wanted to hear. He also needed to learn what the Talmidim some were saying the Sifter Ara. But then he checks that his seal is still intact. Umigali lay, and then he opens up his pit, and he drinks the water, Makasi lay, and then covers again Makasi lay, and reseals it. And he goes. Okay, so what did Shlomo Melch do? Shadr the Yoben Yod. He sent his main warrior, his father's main warrior, but Yoben Yoda, Yogli Shoshilta, the Chakali Shame. He gave him a chain that had a Shame Hashem written on it, maybe some special Shame Hashem, not just our four letter one. It's Kasim Chakali Shame. And likewise, a ring that the Shame Hashem was engraved on. The Gbave de Amra and tufts of wool, the Zike de Chamra, and big bags of wine. Ozel Karib Yurm Tatai, and he did something very clever. Right? You can outwit the Shadim. He dug a pit under Ashbadai's pit, Bishafinhu Le Maya, and he made a hole and he drained out all the water from Ashbadai's pit. From the bottom without breaking the seal. And then use these wool I'm not an expert in wool, but apparently he had some sort of processed wool that would was waterproof to seal it up. Then dug another pit above it and made a little hole. And poured the wine into the higher pit, and then it drained into Ashwadai's pit. And yet the seal was still intact. And then he closed up. All the pits he dug, he filled them up so they disappeared to Gamre. So the Kiyosmi Lana went and sat in a tree to watch. When Ashbadai came, he checked out his spill, Galye, and he opened up his pit, Ashgachai Gamre. He saw that it was wine. He said, this is very suspicious. Amar, Ksim, Leitz Hayayin Homer Sheikhar, he says, what do you mean the Psukim say? We all know. The Chol Shegabo Lo Yevkam. Right, that wine is for being irrational, and whoever drinks too much wine will not be wise. And he says nos as well as height of wine, take away your intelligence. He says no, I'm going to lose my powers if I get drunk, so I'm not going to drink it. Lo ishti kitzachi, but then he got thirsty. Lo sagile, he cannot handle it. Meaning can't live without drinking, so ishti, he drank it. He somehow, I don't know, justified like the rest of us. He somehow justified, rationalized to himself, oh, maybe it's just a funny color, maybe the sun's reflecting, whatever. And he drank it, rave, he got drunk, the gunna, and he fell asleep. And then once he fell asleep, his defenses were non-existent. Nachas asa, and Benio came down from the tree, shodah bein shoshilta, and through this chain with Shem Hashem, through this chain with the Shem Hashem and Satme and closed it, and now the power of the Shem Hashem was able to subdue Ashbadai ki etar havikomer fires. One of them, Ashbadai woke up from his drunken stupor. He was trying to break open the chain. Amalei Shmadamar Halach. Benio says, no, you can't. The name of your master, meaning the name of Hashem, is on you. Shmadamar Halach. Ki nakali also when he's taking him back. Mata Dikla, as he was leading him in captivity back, Shlomo Mel, he passed a tall palm tree. Kofbe, he brushed against it, Shadye, and knocked it down. Mata Lubesa, he passed a big house, Shadye, and he knocked it down. Mata Gabe Kubidari Malte, he passed a little hut of a widow. Nafke Ikanole, and she came out and begged him, no, I'm a poor widow, don't knock down my house. Couple of conte, so he bent himself down to avoid touching. If he would have brushed against the house, he would have knocked it down. The conte today, he bent he bent down to avoid it. It barbe garma and broke a bone. He says this is the meaning of the pasuk in Mishle. Right, a lot of these Mishle's, okay, Shmuelach, that a lashon raka. A soft speech, when this our Almana came and just begged me very, very nicely, breaks a bone. In the power of a soft speech is greater than the power of threats and yelling, as we see from the story. Agav, the Achronim, asked why he gave him a chain and a ring. We know why he gave him the chain. That's how he captured Ashbadai. Why do he need the ring? And one of the suggestions of there are a few suggestions, but the Marisha's suggestion is he gave him the ring because even though he was captured and chained, he broke down a house, he knocked down a palm tree, he could also have killed Benayahu on the way. So the ring, the chain was to capture Asphodai in the ring was to protect Benayahu along the way. Okay, Benio does just other things, maybe use magical powers to get there quickly or to dig the pits. But the Marashah says that it's because of this story, because he knew that on the way he could get hurt and the ring protected him. Okay, so we're not sure. Theories why he had the ring. Maybe it tied into this. In any case, he saw on the way, he saw a blind person who was losing his way, and he directed him back to the proper path. Chaza Rav Yadavikotar, he saw a drunk guy who was losing his way because he was drunk, and he directed him back to the proper way. Chaza Chedvasidam Komadchila, he saw there was a big party, stam party, shas means a wedding. Amedav Machadila Bacha, and he cried. She saw a guy who was telling the shoemaker to pay a lot of money, but made me shoes that'll last 7 years. He smiled. He laughed. He saw a diviner who was divining. And he also laughed at him. When he got to Shlomo's palace, to Yerushalayim, they didn't bring in see Shlomo for 3 days. They didn't wait 3 days. The first day he said to the servants, why doesn't the king need me? Why doesn't the king invite me? Go to him. Amalei Hansei Mishta, he got too drunk, and so he wasn't up to it. Shakal Vinta Otva Chavre, he took a brick and put it on another brick. Atu Amrei, I guess he thought Shlomo Amalek's servants were a little cleverer than they really were. He overestimated their cleverness. Asu Amrei Lit, Shlomo, they went and told Shlomo this is what he did. He said, this is what he meant to hint you. Give him more wine. They meant to hint you to give him more wine. I guess he wants Shlomo to be extra drunk so that he can take advantage of it. The next thing he says, why did the king invite me to him? He ate too much and he wasn't feeling up to it. He took the brick off the other brick. Also, Aaron put it on the ground. Asar only Shlomo. So Shlomo, this the hint he gave us. Shlomo, hush him when he gives him any mitzvah. That's what they're saying. Take away, don't give him too much. Don't give him too much. I guess he didn't want Shlomo to eat too much because that would make Shlomo happy. He wants him to eat too much. We get drunk. Let's so plus a yomo ayel kame. After 3 days, he finally went to Shlomo. Shakal kanya bashach arba garmida. He took a stick and he measured out 4 amot. Nishada kame and threw it in front of him. Amalei Mechti, and he says, you know what I'm, but this means Mechti, Kimais, how God relates to Libhanan Amal, Dalib Garbiti. Given that when you die, he said to Shlomo Amalek, all you'll get is the Dalit Amos of a Kefir, meaning your flesh and blood, you're a human being. You're going to die like everyone else. You might be smarter than everyone else. You might be more powerful than everyone else. You might be the greatest king, but you're still a human being. Hashta, Kabachan, Kola, and now you conquer the whole world, Velo Sabata, and you're not satisfied with Kashanami the tea until you also conquer me? Like, what's shot? Why do you need to be so arrogant? Amalei lo kame inaminach midi. And Shlomo says, I don't need anything from you, meaning I don't personally want anything from you. But inadim the Mesa Mekdash, I just need to build the Mesa Mekdash. Becoming by like Shamir, and I need the Shamir. So it's Lashma, I just need to do the mitzvah, build the Mesa. Amalei the Dila Maser lo Maser le. So it's asked that I finally told him, you know what, how to find the Shamir, Maserli. And the Shamir was not given over to me. The Shamir was not given over to me. However, I'll tell you where it is. Lasarati Omar Maserli. The Shamir was given over to the Sar Hayam, the Sar, the angel in charge of the sea. What does he do with it? He only gives it to the Tarnagola Barbara, to the wild chicken in Tupo, some sort of chicken-like bird in the wild. Then Mehemele Yeshua said, why? Because he's the only creature who can trust the Shmua that he won't give him to people. My of it, eh? And what does the Gola Bra fit? Mantile, the Torah de Lesbe Yishav, he brings this Shamir to uninhabitable mountains. Umanifle Shini Torah puts him on top of the mountain. Upaka Torah, and that splits the mountain. Umankit Maisi Bizrane Meilane, and then he goes, takes and brings seeds from trees. Vishadi Hasam, and he throws them there, Rabbi Yishav, and then it is able to be settled. Meaning, he. He used it for a good purpose. He finds areas where nothing grows and uses the shamar to split the ground, and then the seeds go in the ground, and then they can grow better than if you just scattered them stam, and then it becomes habitable. And that's why when we say the word tuchifas in is one of the treif birds in the Torah, which is apparently what they mean by tanugol bra, the targum oklus is nagartura, someone who cuts a mountain. But kukina de tarnagol to bra, de is the So what did they do? They found a what?
The nest
of the tarnagol of bra, where he has, where the chicks are in the nest. B'chafyua l'kine zugisa chivarti. Chivarti doesn't mean white, I know, literally it's white, means clear. Right? Clear glass was a rarity in those days. Stone glass was not clear. I'm not like nowadays. So he says, you know what? Take glass and cover his nest with clear glass. Ki asa boy lemeel velo motzi azel. Then when the tarnagola bra comes home, she wants to go to her nest to take care of her kids, and she can't get through the glass. I see Shamira v'osviyale. So what did she do? She said, oh, I know how to cut through this. She went and got the shamir and put it on the glass in order to cut the glass to get to her kids. Rami bekala shadye. Then all of a sudden, Yoban Yoyada yelled and it scared her away, and it dropped the shamir shakle, and he stole the shamir. And the poor Tarnagol bra, Azal Chanak Nafshis, often went and hung because of the Shavuot, was so embarrassed at breaking the Shavuot, committed Harry Perry. Unbelief, and I get told, okay. So now we're back to Ashvadai. And I go, said, Ashvadai, my time, why would you show the blind person who lost his way, you direct him to the right path? After all, you're evil. Amrlay, no, Maxwell, like, or Kia, the Sadiq Tomer, who in this, they announced in the heavens that he is a tzaddik gomer. Whoever does something nice for him, whoever makes him feel good, gets olam haba. So therefore, I want to discuss helping him. Why, when you find the drunk guy who was lost, if you direct him in the path? Obviously, the drunk guy is not such a big tzaddik. They announced in Shemayim that he was a Russia gomer. So I did something nice for him. I made him happy in order that he loses all. I mean, he was a Russian lover, but he still had one or two else. And therefore, he would get some tiny Obama. And therefore, I rewarded him in this world for his mitzvos in this world. And he would have no Olam Haba. Continuing. My time, ki chazid la v'chetvasa. Bachis, why when you saw the wedding did you cry? I'm late, boy, my miscavrum, go to Asignon, why mentally of Katan, Tlaceration. And he says, oh, because they're happy and celebrating, but I know the Chassan's going to die within the first 30 days. And if that's not bad enough, he's going to have no kids. And his only brother will be a newborn, so I have to wait 13 years in Aguna for Yibam or Chalitza. So they were happy, but little did they know that it was really sad. My time shemen alam gavin armalu ushbi avli misan al shiv shein achitas. Why, when you saw the guy ordering shoes that last 7 years, did you laugh? I'm really how shemen yom made less late. This guy doesn't have 7 days. Misan al shiv shein boy, and he wants shoes for 7 years. Okay, it's a bit of machlotim and mafarshim. Does it mean he was just speculating, or he knew? It could be the pashtas. He knew the future also. This guy, he's going to die in the next week, and he's worried about shoes for 7 years. I mean, he's pointing out the fragility of human life. My time is either how a customer that a customer because why when you saw this guy defining, did you laugh? I'm really, that we also he goes to the Malka. This guy, he was trying to figure out where you can succeed, where you can make money, etc. He was standing right where he was sitting. Underneath him was buried a treasure of the king that some previous king had buried and lost track of, and all he had to do was dig right under him, and he would have untold wealth. Like so, my ego to say, let him divine what's under his own feet instead of all these other fancy things that he's saying. Meaning he thinks he knows a lot. He doesn't even know what's under his own feet. Tarche Gabe, so Shlomo Melch kept Ashvanai with him at the Bani Beis HaMikdash. He finished building Beis HaMikdash. Yom Echad HaMekoy L'Chuli. One day, Shlomo Melch and Ashvanai were together. Amalek Siv Ketofos Re'em Lo. It says in the Pasuk in Parchas Bala, Ketofos Re'em Lo. From Arvina, the Drush is Ketofos Elamach Yashareis. Hashem has powers. Malchus or Malachi Asharis Re'em Elo Shadim, and Re'em is a hint to the Shadim. My Revu Saichu Minon. How are you better than us? Well, I understand the Malachim, how they, what makes you better than us? You're not so great. Okay, some of the unfortunate suggest that it means not just what makes you better than us, what makes you better than us, and then the Malachi Asharis, that why not just say Hashem is Malachi Asharis? Why not, why say he also is sheep serving him? Obviously, some advantage over us and the Malachi Asharis.
Not only that, they eat and they drink and they have children.
Yeah, it seems like they have no advantage over Malachi Asharis, but the Ion Yaakov suggests here that he didn't just mean why are Shadim better than people, why Shadim have more powers than people. He meant, what do you have more than Malachi Asharis? In any case, normally, he says, oh, I can show you, but not right now, because Goshul Shilta Minag, obviously, it's custom. Take off the chain for me and give me the ring, and then I'll show you. Ba'afilach, and I'll show you, I'll show you my power. Okay, I'm not sure why Shlomo Bell fell for this. But Shaklav the Shilta Minay, he took the chain, but you know what? Everyone in the end, you know, everyone in the end gets a little too comfortable. He took up the chain, Yarmulu's cousin gave him the ring. Bale, he swallowed. It's not clear if he swallowed Shlomo Melech or swallowed the ring. Let's assume, just make the story nice, make the story more exciting. He swallowed Shlomo Melech. Also, the Chad Gabri, Rechil Chad Gabri, Aaron, all of a sudden, he was no longer this little this little guy. He had his wings, and he put one wing in the heavens and one wing on earth, meaning he went from heavens to earth. His body was from heavens to earth. Paske Arba, and he spit out, he threw Shlomo Melech, Arba Mea Parsi, 400 parsas away, which is, let's say, around 1,600 kilometers, maybe. He spit him very far. The Al-Hai Shaita Amar Shlomo, and about that time, Shlomo Melech said, he wrote later, what good is there to someone from all the work that he works under the sun? Meaning, everything I did, I lost because now I was thrown out of my kingdom. And this is all the portion I have from all my work. Meaning, he was left with nothing. But my zeh, what's the zeh? What's the one thing he was left with? Rav Shmuel Chadamar Maklo Chadamar Gundo. One of them said all he had was his makel, his stick. And one of them said all he had is his gundo, which Rashi brings to Shatim. It might mean his clothes, or it might mean his cup, some sort of canteen to drink water out of. It's an interesting machlokas here. What's the machlokas? Whether that is a makel or a mekeda shel cheres. So the Maral here suggests that maybe they are, let's take the shot of a lavush, maybe they're arguing about what's important about being a king, right? Meaning, a king has a scepter that represents his power. Well, yeah, he had one stick left. That's all the power he had. A king also has honor. He has fancy royal robes, and all he had was one little piece of clothing left. So is the ichor of being a king the power you have? He was complaining that all he had was one stick instead of a scepter, or the ichor, the grandeur and honor, and he was complaining he didn't have fancy clothes anymore. Okay, so it's an interesting perspective on kingship, perhaps. Let's continue. He was begging at the doors for food. Wherever he went, he said, you never have these people come to your doors? He says, I'm Mashiach, I'm whatever. He would go around and say, the only thing is, he was right. He was telling the truth. He says, I, Kohelis, was king in Yerushalayim. What's the drasha? Hayisi Melech. What do you mean, Hayisi Melech? I was the king, and he's not the king anymore. So obviously, he wasn't the king anymore. He just used to be the king. When he got to Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbanu Michti, Shota Chanamil Slosar, he says, a Shota doesn't stick to only one thing. Sanhedrin says, you know what? This guy, the only thing he's irrational about is that he thinks he's Shlomo Melech. Doesn't make sense. Like, he was crazy about other things. My high, so what is this? They got suspicious. They said to B'nayo, has the king ever summoned you to him? Meaning everyone else you could fool. But B'nayo, you can't fool. So they asked, has the king been avoiding you because there's something suspicious that he knows you'll notice? Amalulo, he said, no, the king has not summoned me at all. So they were suspicious. Why is he avoiding B'nayo?
Picture this. They
said, a message to the queen. They sent a message to the consorts. Did the king come to you for Tashmish? Shalchalay in Kasi. Yes, sure he does. Shalchalahu bidku b'krayin. They sent him, you know what? When he comes for Tashmish, he's undressed. Check his feet. Why? Because Shaden have chicken feet. And apparently that's not something Baham Nashwadai took over Shlomo's surah and took over his kingdom. He was the imposter king, but apparently they can't change their feet. They can't change their feet. Okay, the Maral suggests that it means that the feet are the lowest, most earthly parts. The Shaden can perhaps, some parts of them can imitate people because they can have the more heavenly, spiritual parts of people, but there's some part that's so lowly that they can't escape. But what happens? The Shalchalei B'moki Gassi, no, he comes wearing these big socks. He never shows his feet. Okay, that was for sure suspicious. And now, he requests Tashmish L'mer Nida, which obviously Shlomo Melech wouldn't do, but an evil demon would. And he also requested, he also wants to sleep with his mother, Bathsheba, which obviously is suspicious. Asura Shlomo, so they said, okay, you're right, it's an imposter. They brought this poor guy who was really Shlomo, probably his customer, Shoshilta, the Chokh and Lishain, and they gave him, maybe they made a new one, a ring and a chain, a special Shem Hashem on it, so he could go and conquer the imposter. King Ayo, when Shlomo Melech came in to conquer Ashunai, Chazia, Ashunai saw him, Parak, and flew away and was never heard from again. Nonetheless, even though he never appeared again, Shlomo the rest of his life but had post-trauma and was afraid of demons. And that's why the Pasuk said that the bed of Shlomo, when he slept at night, he had 60 warriors around them, all with swords, because he was afraid. Rabbi Shlomo, last line. Then we go back to Rufus. One of them says Shlomo Melech was a king and then a commoner. And one says he was a king and a commoner and then a king again. Here, it's not exactly clear what this means. After all, the end of the story seems to be that he was a king again. And Avada Melech v'Hedyon Melech, not entirely that. And the Tanakh says, since he died and he's buried in the royal funeral, and it's Shkab Mabusav, it's clear that he died a king. So it's not so clear what this means. Rashi thinks Gepshuto, that we don't know if it's Rav or Shmuel, but the modern Melech v'Hedyon Hayo Shlomo Lochoder Shul Malchuso. Shlomo never became a king again. It says he conquered Ashpadai, or he drove away Ashpadai, but he never became a king again, which is very peculiar. The way the Maharshah defends Rashi, he says this must be at the end of his 40 years, however long he was a king, says the Maharshah here. Yeah, Ekelim, Sovar Barmashad, Arbam Nitrad. That really, it says, oh, he reigned 40 years. No, no. He reigned 40 years, then this story happened, and then he never got to be king again. Maybe he died right away, and soon after, he never got to be king again. So the Marsha understands this was after his 40 years of kingship, and then he was buried soon afterwards, but he was never a king again, and that's what Rashi sounds like. So Rashi and Asha take it literally. However, even an aside here in some Gemaras, aside in the fancy Gemaras, they took it away from the side and put it in like a little column. They thought there was an improvement. They quote from the Maharshal Lechachma Shlomo here, who says, no, everyone agrees he became king again. They're just arguing to be returned to the same Madrega of kingship or not. And the Lashon Lechachma Shlomo is that the Madamar Melech, the head yod, says he wasn't king again. Ke'ei Malchus Rishonah Shemalacha Helyonim. It just means, of course, he was king again. Come on, that's shot in the story, and that's shot in Tanakh. We don't find he died as a commoner. Rather, means he was only an earthly king again. He never ruled over the heavenly being like he did beforehand. And there's a few different versions of this. The Yabes of Yaakov Emden says, of course, he was king again, but he was only king of Israel. He was no longer respected by all the nations of the world, And the Maharal, who we'll have to deal with a little more, says it means he was king again, but he didn't have the glory that he has. Okay, so that's machlokas whether Melech v'Hedyon was literal or not. Now, once we're talking about literal, so we just have to point out that there are different ways of reading this Gemara. One way of reading this Gemara is very literally. I can't say I point to this Mepharish reads it very literally, because like Menastam, everyone reads it literally unless they say otherwise. No one ever says, I'm reading this literally. But one way is to read this literally, However, Nathan asks, are we really supposed to read all these things literally? So I want to mention two less literal ways of reading this Gemara. One is the Maharal Kedusher Gadus. It's well known that the Maharal was a big fan of the metaphorical readings of Chazal. That was one of his big, I don't know if it was his Kiddush before him, but he did it more systematically maybe than anyone did before him, probably, but never got around to it. So the Maharal says, this really is a story about Shlomo Melech and Shaden, Shlomo Melech and Ashvedai. The Maharal says, there really is the Shaden named Ashvedai, but Shadim aren't physical, Shadim are only spiritual. And therefore, he says, literally, there was a story of Shlomo Melech and Ashvedai. But anything physical in this Gemara, you have to interpret metaphorically. So what part is actually true? That Shlomo Melech captured Ashvedai, and then Ashvedai captured Shlomo Melech, as it were. They defeated Shlomo Melech, and then Shlomo Melech came back. But all of the physical descriptions in the story can't be true. He says time and time again, he has quite a few pages on this, and his mantra is, "Kol advar ha'elo inu gashmim elo sichliyim bilvad." From the Maharal. A few places, the Dimarasal Omer Dabat Kukina, Dimarasal Omer Mai Avidle, Dimarasal Omer, daily, almost every Dimarasal, he says, "Kol inu gashmim elo sichliyim bilvad." This whole, every paragraph, he says, there's not gashmim, it's sichliyim, and he said, there's really an Ashvedai. But Ashvedai is invisible and is not physical and doesn't occupy space and doesn't, you know, knock things down, etc. And therefore, you have to read all those parts metaphorically. And then he gives suggestion. He goes through the whole story and he says, okay, I mean, you know, he doesn't do every line. Obviously, Shlomo didn't torture the Shadim in physical ways. He just somehow overcame them using his spiritual powers. And he says, what's the point of the whole story? The point of the whole story is to show you that Shlomo Melech's Madrega, that he was able to, for the sake of Bnei Beis HaMikdash, he was sholeit even on spiritual beings, and how he, even though, meaning it's not a bad thing that he got conquered by Ashvedai. No one else, the fact that I have the lead, right? For the first three quarters, then you have the lead for 14 minutes, and then I win the Super Bowl at the end. You know, you're right. You had me there for a while, but I'm still the victor. I'm still the champion, right? Yes, Ashvedai defeated Shlomo for a bit, but Shlomo won at the beginning. He won at the end. It's really a sort of the shevach of Shlomo that he even controlled the Shadim, unlike any king before or after who only controlled the fellow human beings. So it's a story, the greatness of Shlomo, that he could conquer the Shadim, and all the things are not meant physically. You know, obviously there was no water, there was no wine. What it meant is water is more pure, and that was the Shades, the Shades' connection to the Olamos Elyonim, and Yahu got him to drink wine, which is more mixed with different, very earthly things. He brought him down to a more earthly level so that he could conquer him, and of course, when he was traveling, he didn't brush up against the Dekel or brush up against the house. It just needs to tell us the nature of the forces of evil. What's the nature of the forces of evil? The nature of the forces of evil are that when people are tall and proud and mighty and arrogant and big, the forces of evil defeat them. When people are humble, like the Almana and her home, then the forces of evil do not have power. Adraba, humility, can beat the forces of evil. While arrogance, pride, and power will always lead to force the evil. Good Moser for all of us. And of course, he didn't literally put these people on the way, etc. It's just, it's just teaching us lessons about life, right? That there are these great people who the all spiritual forces help. Meaning there are two reasons spiritual forces help people. One, because they're so great that they're Tzadik Gomer, and the other, because it's such a Rasha that Hashem wants to give them all the reward in this world. And then telling us some lessons about human humility, that whatever you think, you think everything's going to be one way, and it might turn out to be exactly the opposite, so you don't count on too much. And people think they know a lot, and they don't even know what's going on under their own feet. Lessons about humility and about the 3 days. It doesn't mean literal 3 days, and it doesn't mean bricks. It just meant that we Shlomo Melech and Ashmedai, there was this gap, which he couldn't conquer Ashmedai until he narrowed that gap in 3 days. I mean, it took three stages to narrow the gap, because there's drink which differentiates us from him and food which differentiates us from him. Right? Remember, according to Maral, Ashmedai didn't literally drink, but Shlomo did. So that's what the day of the drink and the day of the food, meaning Shlomo had to overcome this gap caused by the physicality of humans and non-physicality of spiritual beings in order to conquer him. And he didn't literally throw down a stick and measure four amos. It was just a challenge to Shlomo Melech, like, why are you overreaching? And Shlomo Melech justified himself. And he doesn't fully explain what's with the Sarhayam and with the Tarnagolas and with the Tarnagolas Barah. He somehow explains that the spiritual force of a yam is connected to the shamer. That was the, I must admit, more difficult parts to understand. When he stuck to Ashmedai, understood a little better. But the point is that these are all spiritual beings. It wasn't a physical nest. It wasn't a. These are all spiritual. Or and talking about how Shlomo with his seichel basically could conquer not only the forces of evil, but could conquer the forces of nature of the yam, and could conquer the wild and the animals and the Tarnagolas Barah, etc. And of course, there was no literal chain and there was no literal ring. Rather, it meant the intellectual spiritual madrega and power that Shlomo had. And there's no literal wing on the earth and wing in heaven. It just means that the Shadim have earthly aspects and heavenly aspects, unlike Malach, purely heavenly, and they have different aspects. And he didn't throw Shlomo 400 parsa. It just meant he was able to defeat Shlomo Melech's Seichel and Nefesh and Neshama and bring him down many, many madrigas. And it doesn't mean that Shlomo Melech was like thrown to another Gino. He was thrown to Iran, and there he was begging at the door saying, I'm in Koheles. Of course, Shlomo Melech was still sitting on his throne. But he wasn't Shlomo Melech anymore. Right? This is going back to the Gratikas. Ashmedai occupied Shlomo Melech, as if he was 400 parsas from a previous Madrega, as if he was begging at the doors because he had no self-confidence and no power to do anything himself. He lost his intelligence. And that's what it means. He wasn't literally sleeping with his wife. He was either sleeping with his mother. But it means that he was on a very low Madrega pursuing physicality instead of spirituality like he was beforehand. And it's not whether he literally brought him to Yahu or not. It's just that he was not able to relate to great people the way he was previously. And when they discovered it, they didn't literally give him a ring and a chain. Rather, it means Klal Yisrael reinvested their confidence in him and put their, added to his spiritual powers so that he could reclaim his old Madrega. And that's the Machlok, yes. Now, when you see Sam, the Machlok's of Malach, the Melech, the Hedron, Melech, is not a physical Machlok at all. He was sitting on his throne the whole time, and there were no chicken feet. The chicken feet just means that when there was the earthly aspects were very low and subhuman of the way he acted, and that's the Machlok, yes. Was he a king on a Madrega and then became on a very low Madrega and stayed there? Or did he regain his previous Madrega? Okay, that's how the Maharal reads it, that it's really a fight with the demon, but fights with the demon are all on the spiritual level and not on the physical level, and everything is intended metaphorically. So that is one metaphorical reading of the story. Of course, that metaphorical reading, right, what's the pshat of the story is there are Shadim, and Shadim are very involved in the physical world. Said the Maharal, of course there are Shadim, but Shadim are spiritual forces, which cannot be subject to physical description. Now, only subtly different from that, because, spiritual and psychological are very subtly. Rav Nachum Rabinovich says something it's hard to tell whether it's really the same or it's really not the same, but certainly from a different perspective, he says that, okay, Rav Nachum Rabinovich, Kayadua, what's his yeshiva? His name? Yeshiva Berkat Moshe. I always assumed that, that Berkat Moshe must be, they found a yeshiva. There's some guy whose name is Moshe, or his father's name is Moshe, and gave him a lot of money. So they called the yeshiva Berkat Moshe, like every other yeshiva in the world. Maybe our yeshiva's father is Moshe or whatever. Turned out, no. You know why it's called the yeshiva Berkat Moshe? Because of the Rambam. Because what more do we want then to be like the Rambam? The Rambam didn't give any money. But the Rambam was the model for the yeshiva. Okay, so that's called strict Maimonidism. You don't even ask someone for money. You just name the yeshiva after the Rambam. And you don't believe in Shadim. So if you don't believe in Shadim at all, again, it's the difference between believing in Shadim or non-physical and not believing in Shadim, I admit, is very subtle. Because we don't know what non-physical spiritual beings are anyway. But Rabbanovich says, has a different shot. He says, clearly, Shadim are not real things. Shadim are also metaphors. That's the step he takes further. Not only is all everything else, all the details, but of course, the existence of Shadim is also a metaphor. A shade is not a spiritual force. A shade is a metaphor for a psychological force. The Shadim are those evil psychological elements within us. And he says a wild shot. It's published in his Sefer of Hashkafa, Gzol Bilbava, that this is a later draft of what was originally an article in Megadim, in the Shivat HaRetzion Tanakh Journal. So it was really a Tanakh article. He was trying to solve, he says, you know what Chazal are trying to do with this story? They're trying to solve a pshat problem in Tanakh. What's the pshat problem in Tanakh? The pshat problem in Tanakh is Shlomo HaMelech. What's the problem? Shlomo on the one hand is the highest of the high, the greatest of the great, the pinnacle of everything. Basically, all Jewish history is going up, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from after Moshe Rabbeinu. All Jewish history is going up to Shlomo HaMelech, and then from him it goes down. He is the acme, right? After all, he was the only king of all the Jewish people. There weren't so many kings of all the Jewish people, right? Only three ones with any amount of success, right? Shaul, David, and Shlomo HaMelech, because his son Rehavam already had the split kingdom. He was out of all them. Shaul was the underdog his whole life. It was busy saving his hide from them, the hide of his people from the Plishtim. And David, also the underdog his whole life, and was trying to assert himself, and did not have power in the international sphere. Shlomo HaMelech, he was the only king of the Jewish people, of all the Jewish people, who was a world superpower. Not only that, he was Chacham Yehudah, right? So he had a world superpower. He was the king. He was the ideal Jewish king, right? He had all the power, and when Hashem asked him, and Gibbon came to him in a dream and says, what do you want? You want money? You want this? You want that? It's not just Chachma Melech v'Mishpat Yamid Aretz, to judge the Jewish people, right? He was the ideal. On the other hand, the very same Shlomo HaMelech, if you open up the Chumash, there's a parsha, some Melech, right? The paragraph about the name of the Melech. And what does it say? It says, it's just a couple of basic rules. Lo yarbu lo nashem, lo yarbu lo susim, the kesef zot lo yarbu lo ma'od. And this is exactly what Shlomo HaMelech did. He was marbu nashem, and the Torah says, lo yarbu lo nashem, lo yosur lo vado. And it's statement of Urish and many times in Ach. He was Marvin Nashim, and there were Maser Lava, and they brought him in his old age, or they tempted him to all the Derech and worship Avodah Zarah, whatever exactly means worship Avodah Zarah, including something. That the antithesis of what a king is supposed to do. He basically, it's almost as if he took every law that applies to a king and he took pains to violate. It's the most peculiar thing. Ever, if a Jewish king is Jewish sovereignty, it's the opposite of the, is the culmination of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. He brought us back to Mitzrayim. They stopped in Bas Paro, right? Lo Yashem, so I'm Mitzrayim, Laman Har Moses. That's exactly what he did. So, what's the problem with being the acme? He was the acme of Jewish Malchus. The acme means you start the process of downhill, right? Meaning, yes, he was the acme, but not being the acme. The success is to keep going up, is having a positive first derivative. Maybe even second. The meaning, it went up, and then from him on, it started to go down again, right? Yerubam ben Nebat did not only rebel against Rechavam and split the kingdom. Hiram Yadav and Plavo, right? It all started in Shlomo Melech's time. It just like Shlomo to my powers come to fruition, fell after his passing. So he says, what's Shana Shlomo Melech? How could? And you know, the Midrashim talk about how amazing Shlomo Melech is. And then there's all this Midrashim that talk about how terrible Shlomo Melech was. And the Yerushalmi says, the Furish says it's almost the same story, but it says it's not that he had this whole incident with Ashtaroth, etc. It's that he did so many Averos that Hashem decided to kick him off and put an imposter angel in his head, which is not a machlokes in the story. It's just a different perspective. So what's shot in Shlomo Melech? Says Rav Nachum Rabinovich, says this story is Chazal trying to explain using metaphor what's shot in Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was the greatest king, the greatest force of good, but you know what? He was also the greatest force for evil. He was also the king of the Shadim, as it were. He says, what's Ashmedai? Ashmedai is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the alter ego of Shlomo Melech. Ashmedai is the evil side of Shlomo Melech. And that's what I mean, the psychological battle between the good side of Shlomo Melech and the evil side of Shlomo Melech. That's what this sugya is all about, according to Rav Nachum. And it's very, very fascinating. You know, how did Shlomo Melech, but here's the, we don't have the details. The cool part is, what's the big yesod of this sugya? How did Shlomo Melech get in trouble with Ashvedai? Part of it was, he was a little too arrogant. He thought he could get away with giving him the chain because he was so powerful. He didn't realize that, you know, he was only Dalet Amos, he was 6 feet, he'll be 6 feet under after his man to Esther like the rest of us. Part of it was he was so great. When people are great, they can become arrogant and fall. But that's not the real point of the Gemara. What's the real point of the Gemara? And this is Rav Nachum's Yisod. Why? How did Shlomo get into trouble? How did it all start? How did it all start? How did he get into trouble? How does the whole story start? Looking for a shamer. Why is he looking? He's looking for a shamer because he's a zoologist, because he's a collector, because he needs his zoo to have more animals than anyone else's zoo. Why is he looking for a shamer? To build the Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, this is the subtle part. He got into all this trouble, l'shma, because he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, how did Shlomo HaMelech, you think Shlomo HaMelech was just a guy who was so smart and powerful that he became arrogant and went off the derech? No, Shlomo HaMelech, even if he was so smart and powerful, would have been very tempted. When you're so smart, you're tempted to bend the rules, right? You say, that's people not as smart as me. The Gemara says, I can be Marvin Hashem, and it won't be Sar Lavavo because I'm smarter than everyone else. Says that alone wouldn't have done it. Because he was greater than that. But it's very, very hard. He had to build a Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean build a Beis HaMikdash. It means he had to bring the Shekhinah to the world, bring Kvod Hashem to the world. He had to represent Kvod Hashem to the world. He had to build a Kisei of Hashem in this world. And you know what the problem is? When you build a Kisei of Hashem in this world, do you have to cut corners sometimes? L'shma, right? Do you cut corners l'shma, or do you not cut corners l'shma? And Shlomo's downfall was not that he was stam, a guy like you and me, who, if he becomes smart and powerful, becomes arrogant, he goes off the derech. He was someone who's not like you and me, because you and me just have to lead our regular lives. Worry about our own dalamos. Worry about our own lives and see how much we can contribute. Shlomo HaMelech had to change history. It was his job to bring Hashem's presence it was his job to create a physical basis for Hashem's presence in this world, to change the world. Until his day, there was no Beis HaMikdash. It was his job to make a place where all the nations of the world would see the glory of Hashem. It was his job to change the world. And you know what? When your job is to change the world, it becomes a very subtle question. What means do you use to change the world? Do you use only the most kosher and pure means to save the world? Or do you sometimes have to compromise in order to save the world? And that's a very subtle question. I don't know exactly what the answer is. Nachum thinks the answer is very chalak. But he says, that's exactly the point. Shlomo HaMelech had to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's also a metaphor. Yes, it is and it isn't. He literally built the Beis HaMikdash, but he did a lot more than build the Beis HaMikdash also, right? He also brought the Malkat Shabbat come and say, whoa, the Jews, the Hashem's people are smarter than everyone else in the world. He was the Kaddish Shem Shemayim for the entire world. He was really trying to use the Beis HaMikdash part of his project
to rebuild the whole world, L'chbot Shemayim. Okay, when you do that, do you cut corners? Do you not cut corners? And where does that lead you to? And what does he point out? In Pshuto Shel Mikra, in Pshuto Shel Mikra, what was the downfall of Jewish kingship? Clearly, the downfall of Jewish kingship was Yerovam ben Nevat, right? Splitting from Rechavam. Why did he split from Rechavam? Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why did he split from Rechavam?
Because of
The tax burden.
Yeah.
What does a tax burden mean, Be'ikr? What kind of tax burden were you dealing with? Be it cash? Livestock? What was the tax burden they were talking about?
People, corpus.
People, work, right? I'll save El Beis Yosef, he was appointed. Right? I mean, your tax burden in those days, I am Sitchel, says, I'll tithe your produce, etc. The Iker tax burden was not that he take a tenth of your produce. The Iker tax burden is that he say, okay, everyone has to do 2 months in Lebanon and 1 month at home, etc. Go way around. What? Yeah, that sounds like French. So the and let's think about it, says Rambam. Why does Shlomo start pressing all the Jews into mandatory service? Where did he get this idea from? What made him think he could take all the Jews and just make them into his slaves, as it were? And obviously, I mean, an economic damage. And have them work for him. Why did he start doing that? What did the Nabi say in Sefer Halachim? Why did he have his overseers who took all the Jews and forced them to work in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, opening Shuta Shal Mikra? What was the downfall of Malchus Yehuda? Shlomo started building the Beis HaMikdash, total Lishma. Who wouldn't want the Zechus to build the Beis HaMikdash? I don't understand. 1,000 years from now, when you're looking up from Shemayim, when the historians are looking at it, would you rather have been home all the time, having a nice time with your wife and kids, and being able to work in your field all the time to ensure you have a good parnasa? Or would you rather suffer a little and be away from your wife and kids, and they won't have such a good parnasa because you won't work in the field, and maybe once in a while when you're not working so well, they'll whip you a little? But the history books will say you were part of building the Beis HaMikdash that's going to last the Adol Olam, right? It wasn't supposed to be over. Okay? Not such a crazy story, right?
There's a bonus castle, though.
If the problem is you start with the Beis HaMikdash, then you end with your own castle, and exactly how fancy did your castle have to be when? And it's not enough that he has a castle. Who else had a castle?
Wives.
Well, the wives or the wife?
Only one.
Who had a castle? No, but Chev was his mother. I'm sure she had a nice room. All of a sudden, one for me, one for Hashem, and one for Bas Paro, which is exactly the antithesis of what the Torah says. Now, all of a sudden, it's even one for me, one for Hashem, one for the opposite of Hashem. All of a sudden, the scales are sort of more evenly balanced, right? So you start with Lashma, and you end up with, do you think, again, I'm speculating, you think a Rav Ben Nevat would have the chutzpah to get up and say, we refuse to help build the Beis HaMikdash? No, but you know what Chazal say? Rav Ben Nevat was here around the Melech. He gave Shlomo Musar about marrying Bas Paro. And it meaning you start with one thing, and in Shuda Shal Mikra, Shlomo Melech's failure, the Malchus Yehuda failed because Shlomo Melech started the right way, but took a wrong turn because maybe he wasn't as careful as he should have been in terms of how he did it. Maybe he took a little more prerogative for himself than he should have. And that's exactly what this story is saying. What this story is saying is that Shlomo was purely Lashma. But you know what? Even if you start out purely Lashma, you have to be very careful not to let the Ashradai side of you end up slowly, slowly, slowly taking over. And when you're not looking, and when you're not careful, of course you conquer the Ashradai side. And you only use your Ashradai side for the right purposes. But at a certain point, when you're not careful, you let it take over and you let your guard down. You give up your ring and your chain, as it were. And at that point, all of a sudden, Ashradai takes over and sits on your throne and runs your kingdom instead of the Shlomo side of you. And in the end, Shlomo made it back. But he cannot, the world and the Jewish people cannot recover from that damage. I think it's a brilliant read because, you know, a brilliant read always kills two birds with one stone. He's trying to find the metaphorical meaning of the story and also trying to solve a problem in Pshuto Shel Mikra. How did Shlomo go wrong if he was so right? And the answer the Chazal are saying is that part of it is that he was too arrogant, and part of that he was too powerful, and power corrupts. But that's not the Iker, because he could have handled that because he was not human being, he was Shlomo Melech. But when it came to building the Beis HaMikdash, maybe he shouldn't have tried to use demons to build the Beis HaMikdash. He should have built the Beis HaMikdash without demons.
How?
It's a metaphor. He should have figured it out. You know, he should have figured it out. You know what? Tulsa should have used the Urim Batumim. According to Tulsa, he could have used the Urim Batumim. Right? According to Tulsa, why do you use demons instead of the Urim Batumim? For the Shema reason, also. The Chatzim, he should have used the Urim Batumim. For all the Shema reason, he ended up using the wrong means to accomplish the right goals, using demons to build the Beis HaMikdash. When he started using demons to build the Beis HaMikdash, who knows where these demons will end up? It will end up making you the lowest of the low and talk about and you decide you can talk about Sheva Ime, which obviously also doesn't mean in the literal sense, but end up making you chase taivas and disrespect your Besora. And he really goes through the whole story and he says, you can understand the whole story if Ashbedai is Shlomo HaMelech. Ashbedai is Shlomo HaMelech, who is Ashbedai, and then he goes through the whole story. You can argue on the Pratim, but I think the song is brilliant. He says the Dekel and the Bidenus of all the enemies that he defeated when he started out, he got rid of Yoav and he got rid of Odoniyahu. He knew how to get rid of the enemies. There was the Almana, was Yeravam ben Nevat, who was Benisha Almana, who he felt bad for. Benisha Almana, he felt bad for, and he let him get away with things. And in the end, it came back to break his bones. And all the rest is the wisdom of Shlomo Melech, right? He enlightened the Tzadikim Gemurim. He also enlightened the Rishon Gemurim, right? The whole program of Shlomo Melech was to teach Torah Am Yisrael and also to enlighten the whole world, the whole Tzvat Mishva, which in those days meant the furthest reaches of human civilization, right? The Tzadikim, the Rishon, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, right? Damas HaNochri, etc. Everyone from one side of the spectrum to the other, he wants to show the right path. That was Shlomo Melech's Lishma. Okay, the wisdom of Shlomo Melech, that Shlomo Melech knew the fragility of human life. But at a certain point, the Kosein, he was looking, Amarti Echkamavim, Rechok Avimeni, he was looking for more wisdom that he could achieve. And instead of taking the wisdom that he had, he tried to take more wisdom that he could achieve. And that's ultimately the problem with Shlomo Melech, not that he tried to figure out the Svar of Paraduma. I don't think that killed anyone. The problem is that he tried to figure out the reasons for all the mitzvos, and that leads to why they don't apply to me. And this reason, Yavalonash, doesn't apply to me. And ultimately, he was looking for wisdom, which was beyond what he should have been, looking for. Again, he doesn't really go into. The Mefarshim go into a little less, the whole part about the Targum of Ra, etc. But getting back to Ashvadai, I mean, at a certain point, Shlomo Melech let his guard down and was swallowed up by Ashvadai, meaning his Ashvadai side swallowed him up. And at a certain point, he ended up, leaving Israel for the sake of Masparo and going in the wrong direction. And not having his feet planted on the ground the way they should have been, the way they should have been, and that's ultimately what this story is coming to teach us. So that's three ways of understanding that, not just reading the Pratim, what the story is talking about. Number one, you can understand it all literally, or the Maharal. It's about Shlomo defeating and struggling with demons, but everything else is metaphorical. Or Rav Nachum, no, it's coming to solve a fundamental question, which is what was going on psychologically with Shlomo Melech. The yesod is it all started with the Beis HaMikdash Lashma, but the problem is once you let your demons loose for the right reasons, the demons take over, and then he reads the whole story in light of that.
I didn't understand these four stories in the middle. That he saw the poor person. Is that part of this that you just mentioned? That he's trying to understand the whole world, how everything works.
So Rav Nachum says that the stories are the part about the tzaddik and the rasha giving to the path. It's about trying to teach and lighten the path of all human beings, from the most Jewish to the least Jewish. The part about when he cried, when he saw that people wouldn't live as long as they thought, was Shlomo's wisdom, that he taught wisdom that you have to recognize your own mortality. And the part about the Kosein, he says that's and where the Kosein is Shlomo Melech. He searched for wisdom which was beyond him, which made him forget the wisdom that should have been with him. Okay, that's what he reads. And obviously, you can read the problem differently. I think now we're ready to go on to Halacha, back to Hilchas Kitten. I'll point out the Davka on Dav Ayin, by the time you get to Dav Ayin, there are some refuos that are not classic refuos in medical techniques, but more like life advice that the Rambam paskin. The Rambam doesn't paskin the refuos, doesn't prove anything from writing a medical book, but he does paskin. What? Okay, but I don't think he wrote down these refuos, but he did paskin. There's some very good advice here. You know, such as, for example, one of the things around paskin here. Meaning balance between eating and drinking, but eat a third of your stomach volume and drink a third and leave a third. You know what? When you get angry, when you get emotional, you know, you need room in your stomach for that, as it were. And I think he means this literally. Obviously, it doesn't mean little room in your stomach. The point is, if your stomach is full, you're less able to deal with difficult emotions. So don't get too full, and it'll be easier for you to deal with difficult emotions. Like Rav Chia says, "Rosh Loyomli Chona." I don't want stomach to be the ruggle of people kayets bechoreth sudas chashanas. Man of Meshoch Yodei. Man of the Rambam. He says the biggest yisod, two biggest yisodos for the Rambam in health is not just the tibol, the not just the tibol kayets bechoreth, meaning to dip things in sauces and not eat them too dry. But when you love something, refrain from it. Don't overeat. Says the Rambam, almost all health problems are caused by overeating. I think modern day doctors agree with that. Okay, so a lot you can say about where that's coming from. But definitely one should not overeat. And don't hold it in when you have to go to the bathroom. Those are, for the Rambam, his two big yesodos. Don't overeat, and don't hold it in when you have to go to the bathroom. I'm pretty sure modern doctors do both of those. Neither of those seem terribly healthy. And just what's fascinating is that the overeating is not just physical, it's also psychological, right? The overeating, if you fill your stomach, it's harder to deal with the kas, not just that. You might, end up getting, heart disease or whatever it is they say you get nowadays. It puts you in a bad mental place if you eat too much. And I think that modern day doctors agree with that as well. Okay, there's some more things here. I'll just mention some of the other things here that, are good to remember. Solshin, Rakishin, Kochel, Adam, three things. Take away all your koach. Pachad, can't be afraid too much. Derech, if you travel too much, it wears you down. The other one. And sin. Okay, we're not sure what sin means. Tos says either dagas ha'avon or onish ha'avon. It might mean if you sin, you'll get punished. Or it might mean dagas ha'avon, meaning it's interesting. You have to have yiraschet, but yiraschet is not the same as dagaschet. You have to be afraid of sin. It's not the same as worrying about sin all the time. You have to have you have to draw a distinction between the healthy fear of sin and the unhealthy obsessing about worrying about sin. And then they bring various psukim. Then also three things that destroy a person's gut. If you do too many things standing up, eating, drinking, and tashvisha hamita. Okay, I don't know exactly what the modern day doctors say about this, but I know that it's definitely mekobel nowadays that's not healthy, that it's healthier to eat and drink sitting down. It's certainly more civilized. And then later on, towards the bottom, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, Shmona Reuben Kashim Yuta Gafa. There are eight things that too much of them is terrible, but a little of them is good. Ve'elu Hain, Derech, travel. Good to travel a little. Don't be a homebody. But if you travel too much, it wears you out. Derech Eretz, that means Tashvish. Too much of it puts you in the wrong place. Osher, right? Money. It's good to have a little money. It's not better to be dirt poor. It's good to have a little money. It's good to have enough money. But it's not good to have too much money. Too much money doesn't actually make you happier. Too little money will make you unhappy. Too much money doesn't make you happier. Umalacha, work. You should work, but you shouldn't, put in 80-hour weeks. Yayin, drinking. Vishena, sleeping. You should sleep enough, but not too much. And Echamin, hot water.
promise of bathing and drinking. You know, too much of it is definitely bad for you. But Kazakhstan, okay, nowadays you don't do it because Dam quite as much. So we'll leave that for now. And we'll go back to Maseches Gittin. Okay. But we'll side back to Maseches Gittin. I want to, before we start the Shakam Vataria on Daf Ayin Amud Beis the Amar Raim, I want to comment on the Mishnah we started with. Says the Mishnah, Misha also Perdikas, for Amar Kizri Gedla, Ishti Lomar Kuk, someone who was seized by Perdikas, they had this, whatever this disease is, and he's now not a Bardas, even just
because he's getting drunk.
No, no, it's not getting drunk. It's getting drunk, we'll get to in a moment. This is talking about some disease when you drink the new wine. Again, I'm not a good enough historian or whatever you need to be. Why does the new wine give you more diseases than the old wine? You know, I assume there's some logical explanation, some scientific explanation, which has to do with how they did things in the old days. Maybe before it ferments, it doesn't kill the bacteria as much, right? When it ferments, old wine, it kills the bacteria. Before it ferments, maybe there's some bacteria. What that was, I don't know. But in any case, he's not a bendas, and we don't list him. Amar Kisra get lishim, also dice for husband, or lopez, or inkbar, pa'ach, ronin, plum. Okay, that's the part of the Mishnah relevant for us, that if he says to write again, it doesn't count. If he says to cancel writing again, it doesn't count. So he's not a bardas. Not that interesting, brought up the question of, what about drunkenness? This is talking about a disease you get from new wine. It could be new wine if you take literally, it means, right, what is the lashon here? Amar chata, literal new wine means grape juice. It has nothing, it might have nothing to do with drunkenness at all, right? Meaning when the Gemara talks about new wine, they generally mean grape juice. They've never worked for grape juice. Not like in English, where it's the juice of a grape, or in modern day Hebrew, they call it tirosh. That's just a random usage. So it could be that it'll do with drunkenness. It's just the grape juice was not fermented and somehow could give you some disease. What if you're drunk? If you're drunk, are you a bardas or are you not a bardas? So the answer should be very simple. The answer should be very simple. If you look, for example, at the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam, you know, it's always good. You want a baseline? A baseline, go to Divin Nominos, and then you can see if there's something unique about each, right? The baseline in Hilchos Mechira at the end of Perek Kaf Tes, which is all the Dinim of Ben Das and Mechira. We discuss some of those in the Kafan Sugya. He says, Hashikr, Mekomekov Mekor, Mekor Mendos Kayam. If he sells and buys, even gives matanos, it's all valid. A shikr is a bendas. If you're drunk, you're a bendas. Basically, you're responsible for your actions when you're drunk. Unless you get the shikrusa shalot, a shikr, is what it says. Lot had no idea what was happening. Right? A shikr doesn't even know what he's doing, not in pure judgment, but doesn't know what he's doing. Meaning, if chasvam, someone drives drunk, then they're responsible for their actions. But if they're so drunk, they don't even know what's going on around them, they're not driving drunk without them. They'll have the mean of driving. Then, a mice of clone, whatever he does is nothing. It's just shota or kikata. He's like a shota or a baby, less than six. He has no das whatsoever. I mean, not only grabana, like a kid over six, but who does that? He's nothing. So the rule is a shikr is a total bendas. If this shikr gets shechush shalot, he's a total non-bendas. The Rambam in Hilchas Ishas, when it comes to Kiddushin, I think says the same basic idea. He just throws in a caveat because I guess the stakes in Kiddushin are higher than the stakes in Mekach HaMemka, right? Mekach HaMemka, worst thing you'll do is to violate the law of Zela, which you can always return. You know, Kiddushin, HSH is, you know, a little more scary. And therefore, what does the Rambam say? But he says the same thing. Says the Rambam, Perigdalet of Hilchos Ishos. What does he say? Shikr, Shakidesh, Kedushin, Kedushin. Valid Kedushin, Shikr is a Benzas. V'afli Shishdakar Harbe, even if he's very drunk. When he gives Shabush Shalot, unless he got the Shabush Shalot, then ain't Kedushin, Kedushin, then it's not Kedushin. Okay, saying, just yeah, let's ask you what Dover said. You have to be careful about it. The stakes are hot, you have to be careful. But the principle is clear, you just have to be careful. Where does the Rambam get this from? He gets it from, it's a Mefurish Gemara in Erevin, the very top of Daf Samech Hei Yom Aleph in Maseches Erevin. There's no ambiguity here. What does it say at the very top? Shikr, Meisvei, Shikr,
Mekho Mekach Memkor Memkar Ober Beresheish Bamisa Bamisa also. He's Chayav Misa. He doesn't have Beresheish Bamisa. He's totally responsible. Even Chayav Misa. Malkus, Malkin also. Kol Shadori can be called Devarif. He's like a able person for all purposes. Elosh Bamina Tefillah, except he's butchered from Tefillah. Why? Because for Tefillah, you have to act as you would before a king. And since a shikr cannot act in a dignified fashion as if he was in front of a king, therefore he's part of davening because it's usher to daven when you're drunk. Okay, but that actually doesn't have das. That's because he's not respectful to be drunk before a king.
Other levels of drunkenness.
So what does it say? So Amr Chanina lo shanu shlo gilah shakun shalom lo gilah shakun shalom pat mikulam. And it's exactly what Rambam says. He says, of course there are levels. That's only before Shakush Shalom. When you have Shakush Shalom, then you're butter from everything. It's very clear. It's black and white. Until Shakush Shalom, Elvis Tefillah is very cute. But in Kol Tor Kula, you're a Pikeach. After Shakush Shalom, in Kol Tor Kula, you're a Shalte. Very clear. You have to be very careful to not misjudge and mocker Ishish. Okay, so you're careful. But the din is clear. Except for one place in the Rambam, where the din is.
What about these people who have a whiskey for Friday night?
So you have to get into
that.
First of all, I'm not sweet for these people. I've heard a lot of things from a lot of people. Let's take a better example. What about those people who have Kiddush club before Muslim? Right? That, I think. Well, that even I've heard of. That even I've heard of. Kiddush club. There are some shuls where after Corona, the rabbi managed to reinstitute prayer services, but not reinstitute the Kiddush club. Okay, if that's all you got out of Corona, at least you got something. I think there are other shuls where they reinstitute the Kiddush club. Could be that psychologically, again, don't drive. But probably the problem with driving is not that when you're driving drunk, you can't focus on the road when you try to. It's that when you're driving, you need to be able to respond to things. When you're not, don't have a minute to focus yourself first. And that's why bad things can happen. Okay, but it could be that Stam Das, Kiddushin, Nekapomekar, you should know, by the way, that L'chathchila, we have a Chumrah. L'chathchila, we have a Chumrah that if you're getting married, you're not allowed to drink. Just to avoid any chashos, Okay, that's a l'chathchila. Even if you're not fasting, some people say, some are going to say that's why we fast. Let's say you get married in Rosh Chodesh, you get married in Hanukkah, then you still, there's a minhag in the achronim not to drink alcoholic beverages just to avoid l'chathchila, any questions. But halachically me'ikra din, as long as if the chassan, not everyone knows this minhag, the chassan has a few shots at the chassan fish, as long as he's not shechus shalot, it's no problem.
He drinks after the first house. Chassan drinks from the first house, where he does any.
But that is a sip. It's less than a release. Okay.
I just clarify my question. Subjective standard of where drunk.
No, there's an objective standard for this shikush shalot. I understand that something might be hard to judge is why you have to do this yashiv. Okay, let's look what the Rambam says. Says the Rambam, Mishaya Ruach Ra'ah, he starts out with our mission of Esso. So someone who is seized by a mental illness, the Amar Shehisba Holy Kisugetla Ishti, and then when he's this disease, after the disease started, he said Kisugetla Ishti, the Lord doesn't count. They should die to him. He doesn't have proper das. Bechein shikr, likewise, shikr sheyil shechush shalot. Shechush shalot, it's not. Everything he says is invalid. That makes perfect sense. The chiddush Rambam lo igiel the days. What if he's drunk and not shechush shalot? What we expect the Rambam to say? Then whatever he says is valid. He's bekeach pal davar. Hari is a suffik. It's a suffik yet. And this is a mystery that bothered all the mufarshim of the Rambam. Why would the Rambam say if you're drunk with a suffik yet? It's a vaday kiddushin. It's a vaday mekach u'memkar. As a matter of fact, you're even chayav misa or malkus for what you do. Right? So why isn't it a vaday get? Why is it only a suffik get? And here we have a machlokus between the Nosei Caleb here. The Magen Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah throw in a curveball. What's the curveball of the Magid Mishnah Lecha Mishnah? Says the Rambam, Shikur, Shelo, Bia, Lish, Russo, Shel, Boat. It's a suffix get. Why not? Why not a? Why not a get kosher, right? Why not a vada get? After all, in kultur kula it's a vada get. So, well, let's start with the Kesef Mishnah. He quotes the Girsa of the Torah. Interestingly, we have no kisvei yad with this Girsa of the Torah. You never know, but the Prichada suggests maybe it wasn't the Girsa of the Torah, maybe it was the Pirush. Okay, but what does the Torah say? That the Kesef Mishnah said, that the Kesef Mishnah quotes. What did the Torah say? What does the Torah say? He has a different Girsa than the Rambam, or again, almost all Chronim think he has a different Girsa. Like the Kesef Mishnah says, he doesn't say anything, he just starts talking. It says, with Rambam said, and keeps talking. The Chavis suggests maybe he was talking. The Rambam says that the Torah, that what did the Rambam really talk about? Really, it's only if Safek Gigia Lishech Russo Shalom. That's all the Rambam means. And Lachori, you should have to change the gears. Said, if. What does he say in the Rambam? He just has to change it. It's hard to make the papers in the Rabbah. Now they're going to say it could be anyone who's very drunk. We're Masafik, they might reach the Rusha Shalot, and especially the former day, he should say, we might be Masafik. But, you know, again, it's only if he's very drunk. No, to save someone from a little drunk, Masafik, Rusha Shalot. Okay, maybe you have to change the Girsa. What's sort of gothic about this?
Why not do that for the other cases?
And why does it, if so, then why doesn't he say that about every place else? Why not bring up the case of something? Firstly, you could say to the Chumra Deishas issue is very boring. If in Kedushin we say she's married, it's not the end of the world to think she's married if she really isn't. I think say, what if she accepted the Kedushin of someone else and I make a problem? Okay, we think that's less likely. In Mekachomemka, you know, if they mess up a little, it's not the end of the world. Just money. But over here, if you mess up, if the suffix shirush shalot you match the get, then you have a terrible vicious ish, etc. And therefore, the Rambam is more careful. Okay, but you have to change the gears. So that's a little dumb.
What if everyone's telling you you're shikha, but you're saying, no, I'm not blue? How do you judge it?
I don't know. Okay, in real life cases, you'll have to use your common sense.
Answer, oh, is it different? Also,
you could just say, he didn't really mean suffix.
There doesn't help you with this.
Yeah, but the problem is that just because you're being nervous, you shouldn't possibly do something yet. You should say, it's gasping with over hiring, right? If you're nervous. I mean, if the rabbi had said, in logikia, Hareza get umas yasma dumber heart baby something get sounds like I'm sick. So if you ask why does he deal with the Metzias here that he doesn't deal with other places to get your nerves? Guess why he would pop in something when he just meant be careful, I think that's going a little too far. He knows how to say this yashma dumber. Which is also strange unless you add that to the gears, maybe the gears get too long, two lines. You never know.
Is it twice knowledge?
Okay, but one of them is the parallel to here in Isha, so it wouldn't have been crazy to say here. Okay, what am I?
Here's basically waiting between the
yeah, for the Torah, everything is equal. There's no Chiddush in Gittin. It's the same as everything else. Regular drunk is valid. Shekhush Shalom is not, and Suffolk is Suffolk. I mean, is there anything special about anything special about a get? No. It's the same as everything else. Says the Magen Mishnah Lacha Mishnah, yes, there's something special about get, but it has nothing to do with the Dinim of a Sheker. Right? Yes, but it's not about the Da'as of a Sheker. There's something special, but it's a side point. Right? It's a side point. What's the side point for the Magen Mishnah Lacha Mishnah? I said the Suffolk here has nothing to do with the Shechras. I mean, a little. There's something to do with the Ben Das. He's a Vadai Ben Das, right? No, he's a Vadai Ben Das. But it's a Suffolk get because he said Kisvu and not Kisvu Utnu. How do we know what he said? Well, because he starts out with saying, "Mishayu Ruch Ram Va'esel Sover Omar Kisvu Kedayishki," and then he says, "V'chein Shikur." Okay, V'chein Shikur means you only said Kisvu. If you only said Kisvu, you didn't say two. What? Give me a second. He only said Kisvu without two. Now, again, the Rambam doesn't say when they were only kosei or they were only nosei. If they were only kosei, and he said Kisvu, but obviously he's adding that. Likewise, in this case, they only said Kisvu, and he said Kisvu, they were kosei with two. And what's the suffix then? The suffix is not whether a shikr has das or not, whether a shikr is like a chole. Which suffix, whether a shikr is like a chole, because a chole, Kisvu is good enough. And the reason it's not a crazy shot is because the previous couple of lachos were talking about this. Remember the Mishnah of the last parak? He says, what's the suffix? Suffix, whether a shikr is like a bari or a mesukan. So, is a shikr more like a regular person who has to kiss foods new, otherwise he doesn't eat it? Or maybe he makes your kipta in, then he only said kiss. Which is a reasonable kipta, says the chay. The okipta is they were kosei the nosei. It's like a masukan. Maybe it's like someone who is in danger. Now, this, of course, is a big chiddush because if you remember, we had three explanations why the masukan and the, what were they? The mefarish, leyam, the yotzei v'shayara, and the yotzei v'kolar. Why are all those people different? Remember the three pshatim? So, what were the three pshatim? Let's review. Why is Mesukan? Mesukan is the last one, even though I'm putting it first, just Bechameirav? Special. One shot was because he was Torud Ubal, right? Most people are able to say what they mean to mean what they say. This guy was Torud Ubal, he didn't have time to express himself properly. The second shot is because Eino Mesachek. Bishas Misa, or even going out to someplace dangerous like a desert, right? It's not Bishas Misa, okay. The third shot is what we thought the Rambam said, which was, what did the Rambam say? In Beis Yud Beis, like Arya quoted, etc. He says, says the Rambam. He says, "Davar yadua sheniskaven litela." Why? Because obviously, when a guy's sick, he doesn't want to think about it later. He wants to divorce it right away, so he won't be nagana for chalitza. Obviously, when the guy is going to be executed, he doesn't want to think about it for later. He wants to divorce her right now, so she won't be a good for chalitza. And obviously, when the guy is going to the yam and the shayara, he doesn't want to think about it later. Later, he'll be the yam and the shayara. What's the point? He wants to give it to her now, so she won't be a good if he doesn't return from the yam or the shayara. And now, okay, this was Rashi, this was the Ran. We could give different names. Now, the problem is, here's my problem. This only works then. The Magen Mishnah makes sense. Maybe. It's a chiddush.
Wait till he's
done. But the chiddush. If you say it's a matter of bahul, you know what? When someone's drunk, they can't express themselves so well. and therefore they might only be expressed halfway. You know, and that could be tolerable. It's skittish, but it's possible. Just like when someone's sick or in a big rush, they might say half a sentence. When I'm drunk, I might only say half a sentence. It's too much material for me to get out a whole sentence. But take this shot, then no, impossible. How can the Magen Mishnah say maybe he's like someone who's died and is very serious? I know you don't look serious. And if they take this shot, then it's obvious that he needs to divorce her. Why is it obvious that a drunk person wants to divorce his wife right away?
Obviously, it doesn't.
No, it's impossible.
It's not the ideal system.
Yeah, but it's not Yodua that he needs to get divorced just because he's drunk, right? It's not Yodua. Adrava, you know, it's not Yodua. I don't know if it's Adrava or it's but it's not like in these cases, there's an objective reason why he needs to get divorced right away. That's what the Rambam's saying. What the Rambam's saying is there's an objective reason why he needs to divorce immediately. What's the objective reason he needs to divorce immediately? Because he's going to die, and then she'll be not good for chalitza, or he might disappear in the desert of the sea, and she's not good enough guy. Right? But over here, there's no objective reason why a drunk person needs to get divorced right away. I don't know, but why should he assume that he needs to get divorced right away? So what's the problem? What's talking about the shot of Magen Mishnah? That's fine. It works for one of the three shots. No, it's not the Rambam shot. The Rambam says, the Rambam says it's Dor Yadua. So this is also a little dafuk. This is also a little dafuk on Nias Daiti because it doesn't work for the Rambam's approach in Beis Yud Beis. Okay, so we say he didn't mean it literally. He really meant the other child. He's just saying it funny. It doesn't mean impossible. You can always read everything to be everything if you want. But it's still dark. Nathan, and then...
What's our source that drunkenness is like a normal person? It's a psychological evaluation.
It's Chazal decision in the Gemara Erevin, quoted by the Rambam in every other context. By the way, three of your dozen other Rambam. Five or six other Rambams. Okay, that was their Svara. Their Svara is good enough for us. That's what makes them Chazal. That their score is good enough for us. So I want to suggest that maybe you could give more mechudish way reading the Rambam. Okay, it's also Chiddush. But I want to suggest that the Rambam makes sense based on the famous Chiddush of the Nesivos. What's the famous Chiddush of the Nesivos? The famous Chiddush of the Nesivos is that Geirushin requires more Ratzon than other Chalutz. That's the famous Chiddush of the Nesivos. Right, he says it's the simon Reish Hay, right, which is the simon of coercion, right? The simon of coerced transactions. Says the Nesivos, he said, even though the Gemara, when it talks about coerced transactions, discusses Mepira, discusses Ged, it discusses Karbanos, puts everything together. By Karbanos Agav, right, he says, right, Lirtzona. Again, not the Shudosh of Mepira, the Drash of Lirtzona, you have to bring it to Ratzon. Also, can we converse you, coerce you to bring a carbon? Yes, as long as you say rotsani. But you really don't want it inside? Yes, you do, because really people want to do mitzvos and keep the Torah. Again, obviously we're talking about an obligatory carbon. I can't coerce you to bring an optional carbon. He says, you know what? The Rambam writes in Paragabez Melchiz Gerushin that when Bezdin coerce you to give a get, Misha did no sin. She called herself a garish. She shall learn to the garish. Begs and shall he show the chobak of Zan, Makino Sochiuma Rotsani. We beat him up till he says Rotsani. He asked, why do you need to say Rotsani? Why does the Rambam require Rotsani by a get? After all, by Mekahu Memkar, it's valid even if you don't say Rotsani. Tluya Vizavin Zvine Zvine. If I force you to sell, it's valid even if you don't say Rotsani. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other ways to answer this. There are other ways to answer this question. The Nesivos' way to answer this question is because the standard is higher in get than in Mekach Memkar. Mekach Memkar just needs haskah. And you know what? Tluyim Zavin Zvini Zvini, if I force you to sell, that is good enough. But in get, you need Ritzui Belief. get requires a higher level of decision than Mekach Memkar. You have to really want it in your heart. That's the Chiddush. And then he brings two Rayas. What are his two Rayas? Number one, by getting Rots Ani, by Mekach Memkar, you don't need Rots Ani. Number two, the Rambam, this is the most famous Rambam, this is probably the most famous Rambam of his Girushin, is Perkis Halachacha. Why is this so famous? Because it's the most philosophical Rambam in Hilchos Girushin. What does he say? The Rambam says, how can Beth force you to divorce your wife? After all, you don't really want to. It's really what called get Musa. You don't really want to. What's the Rambam's famous answer? Everyone knows this philosophical Rambam. Right? Says the Rambam, you have different levels of Ratzon. You have the inner Ratzon, as it were, the surface Ratzon. You have your Yetzer Tov is your true Ratzon. And your Yetzer Hara is an imposed external Ratzon, as it were. And therefore, Yetzer Tov really wants to force your wife. Why? Not because of divorcing your wife. Because the din is no same. Because Beis Din says your Yates, not that your Yetzer Tov wants to get rid of your wife, but your Yetzer Tov wants to follow the halacha. Your Yetzer Tov wants to follow the Torah. And in this particular case, the Torah says you should divorce your wife. Your Yetzer Tov wants to follow the Torah. It's only Yetzer Hara that is coercing you using its tricks and tactics to not follow the Torah. But basically saying everyone's real Ratzon is the Yetzer Tov. And therefore, if all we do is beat you up until your Yetzer Hara is weakened and you can connect to your true Ratzon of the Yetzer Tov, that's not coercion. Okay, that's a tremendous philosophical Chiddush, which one could talk about for a long time if we're learning philosophy. But the Nesima has a simple question. He says, you know what? If I force you to sell your house, the Rambam never asked, oh, but you don't really want to sell your house, and he never then came up with a philosophical explanation why you really do want to sell your house. Right? Which would have been a little hard, because if I force you to sell your house, it's valid. I force you to buy your house, it's valid. I'm not sure what philosophical reason there could be why you want to both sell and buy a house. You want to make another person happy. Okay. But the Rambam doesn't say that, and that's obviously silly. So how come the Rambam needs philosophy to show how your real Ratzon is to do what the guy's forcing you by get, but doesn't need philosophy for Mekka, philosophy why your real Ratzon is to sell your horse. No, your real Ratzon is to sell your horse, but it works anyway. So the Siva basically said, now, you could come up with other explanations for this, right? I didn't even give you all the course you need, but it could be that you have to look and compare and contrast the models of Atana and the models of Mekach Memkar. You have to contrast how active someone is in participating in the process. There are other ways to answer it. I'm not saying the Nesivas is mukhar, there's no other way to answer it. But this is the sheet of the Nesivas. It says the Nesivos that within the Rambam, this pull within the Rambam, get Rambam, Mekach Memkar. Sarech Lomar Rotsa Ani Afilo in Lo Omar Rotsa Ani. Argument from silence, but a strong one. But the Kiddushin also, the Rambam says, by force of man to be a Kaddish, it's valid. Right? It says, isn't that only if he says Rotsa Ani? The Rambam thinks even if you don't say Rotsa Ani. For Kiddushin, you don't need Rotsa Ani. Only for getting any Rotsa Ani. That was the Zechri Yitzhak in the brackets. What about is there anything in the man and woman? But also, what do we find? That by get, you need a Hezber Lama Ritsono Be'emes Lasos Ma Shemachrichen Oso Lasos Sorech. You don't need a philosophical hesper. So why is it? Says the Nesivos, no problem. Because it meant, and keep in mind also, the it's not just Mekach Memkar, it's also Kiddushin. At least for the man's side, and according to most, according to the woman's side also, according to most, according to the woman's side also, the Kiddushin is valid, it's just that we draw blood there. That's shot in the Gemara. He says, also for Kiddushin, the Rambam says, you force a man through the Kaddish, it's valid. And the Rambam says, don't even groats honey. Apparently, doesn't even groats honey. And the Rambam clearly has no philosophical explanation. What philosophical explanation is there? Is the philosophical reason why you're going to Kaddish a random girl on the street that you're forced to meet? No. I understand the philosophical reason I should get married. I want to keep the Torah, and the Torah says, there's no philosophical reason I want to marry this girl, right? So here it it's not just Nekach Umenkar, it's Nekach Umenkar, the Kiddushin as well. Again, what the Yitzchak deals with is how much Kiddushin you tell the woman, which is less clear in the rabbi. So says the Nesivos, what's Pshat? Says the Nesivos, what's the Yisod? That by Nekach we just mean Haskama. You know, slash Das. I get you need Ritzoy Belev, and that's why A, you have to say Rots Ani to really put in your leave. If you don't say Rots Ani, it's not your leave. Even with Rots Ani, we wouldn't consider it to be your leave. We would say it's been a sup of Lachutz, except that we have a philosophical expert that you really want to keep the Torah and you read Torah is not your true Rots. That's your fake message. And then he comes out with an Afkamina, says the Nesivos and Afkamina is a big machlokas. Achron and the Shulchan Aruch, this actually applies to the Talmud of Rice, so you now need to be up to it, etc. What if a guy forces himself to give a get? Right? I tell the guy, I convince the guy to give his wife a get. And I'm afraid the second he, you know, we walk out of this room, he's going to change his mind. So I say, I convince you, swear you'll give your wife a get. And you swear. And of course, I'm a clever guy. Say, swear all das Robin, so you can be moderate, you know. Now you have no choice. You're forced. Or I'd say, you agree to give your wife a get? Yes? Okay. Sign here that you agree that you will pay a knas of $2 million if you don't give your wife a get. Now you're forced by the knas of $2 million. So is that a valid get, free will, or is that a get loose, forced? Think about folks in the Shulchan Aruch says that a serious about folks at Poskim. And now he makes an assumption. He says, Laharbe Postkiman Abin Ezra Shim and Kufla Madalim, that's considered to get moved. So it's a big mouth focus out of you want to say whether that's considered to get moved or not, supports yourself. We call Makum a Matana Nira and a Matana, even a present, even if I'm not getting money, getting any money. Nira came into Amar Rotsani Havi Matana. Masha ain't gonna get me to reach a belief. This is not a proof. These are his two proofs, right? Proof one, proof two. Once he has his yesod, he now comes to a conclusion. Meaning, these are his two proofs. Now he says, now that my soul, I'll make a new chiddush. What's his new chiddush then? His new chiddush then is that there is a man to Omar, that a self-coercion is a coercion. But when it comes to Mekach Umenkar, Kuli Alma, self-coercion is considered free will. And which makes sense because we do have places in Shas where you see someone swore to give, someone agree. But when I agree to do a transaction, no one says, oh, then I can get out of the transaction because it's a if I swear to give you a present, I have to give you a present. I can't then go back and say, you know what? I didn't really, that's how I was forced. So what's the difference? So he says the same as so. By regular transaction, you know, so you need das. You know what? If I force myself, I still have das. I das, I force myself. And I can't blame anyone else. I can't say, oh, this, because it was by myself. By getting a breach of belief, even though it's no one's fault, I force myself, still I don't have a breach of belief. That's the yisod of the Nesivos, that by getting a breach of belief, as opposed to calls our kulo, we just need das. Says it's a Yitzchak, a nice word. The Nesivos never explains why get means retickling. Why is get different? I don't know what he meant. He doesn't say. Maybe he means, you know what, because divorcing a wife is a very, very sad thing. And and how can you live without a wife? And therefore, you know, if you don't really, really mean it deeply, we assume no one would ever want to be without a wife. But I don't think that's what he means. I don't think he means because psychologically you need a wife more than you need other things, even though it seems to be a reasonable assumption. I think what he means is what the Zecher Yitzchak says. It's all Panovitcher, and the Zecher Yitzchak has the same part of the Nesivos. A few Achronim have this part of the Nesivos. I don't mean everyone. I mean, you open up Shulchan Aruch, Shach, smile at everyone. But a few Achronim have this part. The Zecher Yitzchak, it's all Panovitcher, who was one of the Gedolim already in the Lundish era of Europe, right? Meaning learned by the Beis Halim. He was Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, but then quit because he wasn't into Moscow. And he realized he couldn't be Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka. So Burgess Lipanovich says here, he starts with the same exact proof. He does the same exact proof. He says, what do you need the philosophical explanation, the whole fancy philosophy of inner rut zone, real rut zone, fake rut zone, etc. In Dini Mominus, we don't need philosophical explanations. And he answers, it must be Ruchachnon Olomai, that by get, you need Ritzon Obloshumas Mogai, you need pure Ratzon by get. Why pure Ratzon by get? Why? So he points out an interesting Diyuk in the Rambam. I always liked this Diyuk in the Rambam. Before I knew who the Zecher Yitzchak was, I liked this Diyuk in the Rambam. The Rambam, the beginning of his Gerish, the Rambam is a very Mesudar person. Right? That's maybe what characterizes the Rambam, how Mesudar he is. He starts out and says, a woman to get divorced needs to get a certain piece of paper, which needs 10 things, but not talking. Okay. So, here's 10 things you need, but either Pimusha, so, need more beyond, right? I'll teach you. And what is the first thing? So, you got to say, Ishala Ritzon. The Rav said, Binayim Shasari, why are you looking at Torah? How do you look at Torah? She never, while y'all know, since the Chimba Eina, because let's say, the and lo since the Chimba Eina, but Lamish and Garishala Ritzon, no, it's Garishala Ritzon, I know the rest, yes. And lo since the Chimba Eina, because there's a cost of you need Russell. So, he gets an interesting question. He says, what about Kol Torah Kula? How do we know that if you are coerced to give a present, it's not valid? How do we know if you're coerced to marry, it's not valid? How do we know if you're coerced to buy and sell something, it's not valid? The answer is, it's a svara. That's not valid. You can't give up any rights without agreeing. Oh, that's what my patre. So he says, why do you need a special serious custom that you wrote on forget, and there's no special serious custom you need wrote on for anything else? An interesting question, right? So he says, it must be, because everything else you need das. But here you need more than das, you need rotzon. Rotzon gomer, and you know what it's parallel to? It's parallel, you know where else is the philosophical hesper, why you really agree? The Gemara? Gemara gives a philosophical hesper, why you really agree, even though we force you to bring a karpah. A philosophical hesper is you want kapara. You really inside want kapara, even though your days are hers telling you to be cheap. Your days are hers telling you to be cheap, but inside you want kapara. You want to be carried close to Hashem. Okay, you know why? Because they're also, they're so no, you need, for Karbanos, you really need an inner Ratzon. Karbanos are not transaction. Karbanos, you really need an inner Ratzon. So he says, that says Lurzon, and here's the Tintokhim Be'inam, because there is a custom. Why did it say Lo Tintokhim Be'inam? Now, again, that's not the question. Why did the Torah say Lo Tintokhim Be'inam? Look at the last off of Gittin, where the whole question of when it's moral to divorce and when it's ethical divorce, when it's not ethical divorce. You know, how bad does a wife have to be? And then it'll be mutter al pi Torah to divorce her. Nothing with the halos condition, just with the ethics, right? Which is, you don't like her. What does it mean you don't like her? How much do you have to not like her until we think it's ethical to get divorced? Okay, it's not a kasha of the pasuk, why you need that pasuk. That's the only thing getting outside. It's kasha of the Rama. Why did the Rama say something that's not found in Shas? So to teach you, you need a level of rutzon. You need regular das machne. You need an extra level of rutzon. There's a kasa, that's where it's a part of the picture adds to the nesivos. I don't know why you need to quote the nesivos. Obviously, if I would go to the nesivos, okay, maybe in the yeshiva's the style not to quote the nesivos. If you think this part is good enough. But says the... As the Rav Yitzchak Lipanovich in the Zecher Yitzchak, he says, why? Because Imlo Tintzachay Be'enav. What does it mean, Lo Tintzachay Be'enav? That you have to divorce because you really don't want to be married. It's not enough to agree to divorce. The reason has to be because you actually want to be divorced. The reason has to be because you actually don't want to be divorced. You actually want to be divorced. If you divorce because you agree to divorce, if I agree to sell my house, but not because I actually want to give up my house, that's valid. If I marry a girl, but not because I actually want to be married to the girl, that's valid. But if I divorce and I don't actually want to be divorced, that's not valid. Zeres Agosov, Del Tinskin Enoch, you need me to believe. This is the whole Yesod of the Nesivos and Few Achronim, and they're all talking about coercion. It starts with coercion and ends with coercion. It's all within the realm of coercion. No one extends it beyond the realm of coercion. What I want to tie in up, with no mucker whatsoever, what I want to tie in is that you can take this, your soul of being a seed of Nebuchadnezzar, and extended beyond the realm of coercion to the realm of standards of das. In regular transaction, you only need a regular standard of das. And a shikar is a regular standard of das, but in get, you need a higher level of das because you need a lotitzchina enough. It needs to be a recent decision. What is lotitzchina enough? Lotitzchina enough means I need to have come to a good decision. Therefore, again, this is my chiddush. They're all talking within the realm of onus versus ratzon. And I'm taking the level higher up, more das versus less das. But maybe you could say, I'm not blaming them, just blame myself. I'll plead the Nesivos and the Zecher Yitzchak. And the reason I'm bringing the Zecher Yitzchak is because it could find some other heads of the Nesivos and it wouldn't transfer so well. But which of what I think is the real head for being, again, I thought it was the head of the Nesivos before I knew the Zecher Yitzchak. Nowadays they have footnotes and you can look at the footnote of the Nesivos and look up the Zecher Yitzchak and find what you would have said otherwise. Based on Zecher Yitzchak, no, Lotinzchim Be'enav means it needs to be a higher level of decision-making. Lotinzchim Be'enav, not just I agree, I have good reasons for agreeing. I've really come to a logical decision. Now again, the logical decision doesn't have to do with grace. I'm not claiming it's only she doesn't find favor in my eye. There could be other logical decisions. Maybe she's too expensive to keep up. Maybe, whatever the case may be. But it has to be a logical decision. And therefore, what we're saying is that by mekachu memkar v'chuli, you just need regular das, and therefore shikar badad ben das. But when it comes to a get, then you need timtzachim be'enav, right? What do you need? By a get, you need e mitzios chen be'enav, meaning you need a reasoned decision. You need a reasoned thought process. Is a shikar making a reasoned decision? That's a suffix. And then a shikar is suffix, even a regular shikar.
Regular shikar too?
That's exactly what I was pointing. A regular shikar is a suffix. Is a suffix. Shikur shalom has no das. Of course, but then it's a regular shikur that's a suffix for the Rambam, right? Regular shikur. It's a suffix. Why? Because with a higher standard of das necessary for getting than for Walter. That's what I'm claiming in the Rambam. Not based on what the Achronim say about getting moves. So I'm taking that and applying it to a new song. And I really think that's Shalom. I can't prove it to you, but I really think that might be Shalom the Rambam.
The Rambam had a literally Prince Path of Allah, Prince Shikur is the law, fits the extension of the Ruach Yom. But the second half, according to you, based on the extension of the principle of Allah, the good of a period, not fairly.
No, it's not some extension of Allah, but extension of the idea of Ben Das. I'm just saying, they see you sold it, I'm like, Ben Karcha underlies the answer of Ben Das. That doesn't bother me. Okay. Anyway, Gitzer, we did not get to the most famous part of the Makor sheet. I apologize to Indian number 4, so we'll have to pick up with that and with maybe some more Makor about that and more in the Sugya, Mirza Hashem, next time. Okay, so we'll pick up with Chaim's going to ask me where are we up to. We're up to number 4 of the Makor sheet, right? We'll pick up with that in Mirza Hashem next time. Okay.